But first to Mali. And, you know, just 3 years ago, I remember a lovely Traveller's Tale interview here on the program with an American woman urging people to travel once more to Timbuktu, now in the nation of Mali, which gained its independence in 1960. But once the fabled centre of Islamic West Africa about 700 to 800 years ago, when it could boast a major African written tradition, when Europe was in the Dark Ages. Well, you wouldn't travel there now by choice because aspects of that tradition are being destroyed physically by jihadists in what's being compared to the destruction of those wonderful Buddhas of Bamiyan by the Taliban in Afghanistan. The images from Timbuktu have made the world sit up and take notice of the deteriorating situation in West Africa, which has been reeling since an uprising in March this year, spurred by the crisis in Libya. A rebellion by the Tuareg in the north then prompted a coup by army officers against the president, and political mayhem has ensued. And now there's growing concern for stability and security right across the region. Gilles Yabi is the West Africa Project Director with the International Crisis Group, and he's based in Dakar in Senegal, and he joins me now for an update. Welcome, Gilles.
Hi.
Could you describe for us what you say is happening in Mali at the moment? I notice your ICG is urging a political rather than a military solution to the chaos.
Yeah, well, the situation is really worrying because we have basically two crises at the same time. One is a political and institutional crisis in Bamako, the capital of Mali, because of the military coup that happened in March and which destabilized the political architecture of the country. And the current situation is still unclear. In particular, it is difficult to know who is in control of the Malian army. And the Malian army itself has been disorganized by the military coup. That is one major issue. And then we have the situation in the north where a rebellion was started in January by the Tuareg separatist movement. But the power has actually shifted from the Tuareg rebellion to jihadist and terrorist groups such as ACMI, Al-Qaeda in Islamic Maghreb. So now we have a situation in the north where the main towns, Timbuktu, Gao, and Kidal, the three major regions in the north of Mali, are basically under the control of various groups, which are jihadist groups, and which are basically threatening the cultural heritage of the country, and also threatening basically the way the Malians have been living their religion, their Muslim religion, for years and for decades and even for centuries.
So there's these jihadists are very much outsiders, are they? They have no familiarity with, and certainly by the sound of you, no sympathy with the people whose country they're coming.
It is actually a very complex situation because some of these groups have been operating, have been moving around in northern Mali for many years. Initially, ACMI, which is again Al-Qaeda in Islamic Maghreb, was an Algerian group, and they moved from southern Algeria to northern Mali because of the fight against terrorism by the government of Algeria, and that was at the end of the 90s. So this group, for example, has been based in northern Mali since 2003. They have been involved in hostage-taking, basically Western hostage-taking in this region, and they have established connection with part of the local population in Mali, including with some Tuareg population. So it's actually quite difficult now to be able to target specifically the jihadist groups because of the networks of alliances that they have established in these regions. And that is really the difficulty of the situation. I think it's also important to recognize that there are really a variety of groups on the ground,
yes,
and some of them are not terrorist groups, some of them are defending very radical and extremist views of Islam, but they have not been involved in terrorist actions. And we think that it is important to have this clear view of the complexity of the situation before making immediate decision, especially decision of military intervention.
It's just that some refugees have described a sort of almost classic pattern that we've seen elsewhere, particularly, say, in northern Pakistan, of an Islamist reign of terror, women chased off the streets for walking alone, public whippings, and then these sort of really tragic destruction of these old shrines, which very much have a Sufi element to them. And, of course, the International Criminal Court has been asked to investigate the atrocities that they say are being committed. So it sounded like that classic pattern, you know, of jihadists arriving and imposing their will.
Yes, that is true, and the reality of the suffering of the population trapped in northern Mali is something clear for everyone and for us. But at the same time, I think it will be a mistake to depict the situation as if we were talking about Afghanistan, for example. People are talking about Burkali Sahel being transformed into a new Afghanistan or into a new Somalia. What the reality of the ground is different. There is this risk, but again, we are not talking exactly of the kind of Taliban activities now developing in northern Mali. Also, there are various communities living, which have been living together in northern Mali for decades and more. What we are saying that the way to address this current threat of jihadism in the region should also preserve the possibility in the future to have these communities living together again. What is really important, in our opinion, is to make sure that there is a large consultation between the Malian forces and then as a way to marginalize clearly those elements who are basically foreigners and who are trying to impose their rule on northern Mali because of the weapons that they got from the conflict in Libya, and also because of the ransoms that have been paid in the last few years and that continues to be paid by some Western governments because of hostage taking. So we are talking about the mix of criminality and also jihadism.
What was the powerful impact of Libya and the subsequent collapse? How did it have such a role in Mali?
Well, it's an historical issue. Colonel Gaddafi of Libya has been involved in negotiating various peace agreements, particularly between previous Tuareg rebellions and the government in Bamako. And Gaddafi was very powerful because of the resources that he had. So he was able also basically to attract a lot of Tuareg from Mali in Libya for years, and most of them have been actually implicated in the Libyan army. So when the conflict started in Libya, there were hundreds of Tuaregs of Malian origin, but who have been living in Libya for years, that basically left Libya and came back to Mali. But they came back with the weapons that they had in Libya,
yes.
And that has a powerful impact on the capacity to launch a rebellion again.
I read a rather interesting comment that if one characteristic is common to Malians, both those who originate in the desert and those from the savannah, it is their intense pride. Now, do you agree, and is this a cause of hope, that you can in effect separate out Malians with their great desires for their nation, which is after all only, 50 years old, more or less, and the others? You think that is possible?
Well, I think, again, that there is a powerful tradition of peaceful cohabitation in Mali. And in northern Mali, you have many different communities, the Tuareg, the Songhai, the Bambara. And I think in the current situation, the real danger is not coming from the Malian communities. The real danger is coming, again, from groups that originally came from neighboring countries, particularly Algeria. And the other danger is that in basically in the south of Mali, you have also a big country, Nigeria, for example, where we are seeing another terrorist group, Boko Haram, perpetrating serious attacks in northern Nigeria in the last 2 years. So there is a risk of a junction between these movements in West Africa, and that can have a major destabilizing impact on the entire region. But the way the region will be reacting also, and the international community will be reacting to the current situation in Mali, will be crucial for the future of the region. If there is a very indiscriminate military response to the groups operating in northern Mali, then we have a risk of the situation basically going outside the borders of Mali and now touching Niger and other countries. So that's why we are very cautious in what we are proposing as a way to solve the crisis. Basically, put the foundation of the Malian state back first before looking at the use of force.
Thank you very much indeed for that overview.
You're welcome.
Gilles Yabi, who is the West Africa Project Director for the International Crisis Group based in Senegal, and we'll keep an eye on that, I think, region that's sort of considered rather exotic by Australians, but clearly coming into centre frame.